It's good to see each one. I think why there's a parting in the middle here is that everybody's trying to find a bit of air from the windows. You might turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 32. Verse 22, excuse me. Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's just bow in a word of prayer once again. Our Father, we thank you for this time together tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for thy great love for us. We thank thee, Father, for the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we might once again look and be reminded of this wonderful mystery in the Word of God that is so vital to us, day by day, and also for eternity. We just ask you to be with us then as we look at this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Lately, I've been doing a bit of a study on the mysteries of the New Testament. And there's a great mystery mentioned here in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We see the mystery in verse 30, that we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. One of the many things that happen when we are born again and saved is that we are made members in the body of Christ. Now, the meaning of that word is basically body parts. We're part of the body of Christ. And every believer is a part of the body of Christ. No matter how weak or how strong or how spiritual or how carnal, we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, the depth of that, we can kind of understand what members are. We talk about membership. I remember when I was a young man going forward in church, and I remember getting a little box of envelopes for my money and a little thing that said I was now a member of the church. But you know something? I became a member of the church about 2 years following when I came to Jesus Christ. I was not a member of the church. I may have had a paper saying I was so. I might have had a right to vote here or there. But when I came to Jesus Christ, I became a member of his body. That is a wonderful thing to have some understanding of. And I notice those words, off his flesh and off his bones. Now, one thing I do not believe it means is that we become gods. And I know that there is theology around today that basically say that we become little gods, one way or another. But I do believe this, that this scripture says that we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And it says also, quoting from the creation story, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And so we see that in the mind and will of God, that we as believers are part of the body of Christ in a very real way. In a very real way. There's a verse in the scripture, and it reads like this, and it is a marvelous verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. We read there, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, I believe that verse to be true. I believe there are three persons in the Trinity. I believe there is one God. I believe that they are all equally God. And you say, well, how can you explain that? I could perhaps come up with some examples, but really, I accept that as being the truth of the very Word of God. And it's the same here in this passage. It is a great mystery, but it is the truth that we become a part of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Our relationship to Christ is perhaps a lot closer than we would realize. Very often we think, well, yes, I have received Christ as my Savior. I trust in him by faith. And yet our relationship with Christ is kind of over here a little bit. We have many other parts of our lives. But the truth is that we are vitally in vital union with him from the time that we are saved, forever and ever, really. This, by the way, is true unity. We often think, well, we can get together with others that perhaps disagree with us very majorly in doctrine, and yet we should get together with them and so on. But I don't believe that is any kind of unity. What unity is being members of his body, being of his flesh and of his bones, being one flesh with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a great mystery. By the way, a mystery is not something that God doesn't know about, or some problem that God came up against that somehow he had to deal with. A mystery is something that was not revealed in ages past, but has been revealed to the prophets and the apostles in that early church days, and has been passed on through us. We may understand this. Well, I'll tell you the truth, that there are 6.5 billion people in this world. If there's 7 billion people in this world, there's 6.5 of them do not understand that. You are one of the very fortunate people in the world if you understand this mystery here of our relationship to Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is a great, great mystery. When I look at this passage, and I'll just move ahead here to some notes of my own here. We read a couple of things here. We read in verse 23 that Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Now, the head is the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. You know, sometimes we decide we're going to go in some direction or another, but remember this, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And the church is his body. He is vitally interested in this. He is interested in what we do. He is interested because he is the head. He is the chief Christ is the head of the church. And secondly, he is the savior of the body. There's only believers and unbelievers. I know in our county and in our county newspaper, there was a man very brashly said that there was many ways to God. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Savior. It doesn't say he is a Savior. He is the Savior of the body. He is the one that makes us safe. He is the one that saves us from hell. So he is our Savior and he is our Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who directs his work. Jesus Christ is the one, and in a very personal way, he wants to be personally involved in that, and in a sense he is. It is a personal thing with him, his lordship is. It is a personal thing with Jesus Christ. We often wonder, and we think of one or another, we begin to see sometimes even we can make a man or other, place them up, and my goodness, that person can do this, that person can do that, and we tend to follow. But you know something? The head of the church is Jesus Christ. He is the head and we are the body. Now, we could say, well, that's a distance. The head is in heaven and we are here. But the truth of the matter is, according to our scripture, that we are flesh of his flesh and bones of his bones. What a relationship that is. The only thing that the Lord seemed to be able to, not the only thing the Lord could, but the thing that is mentioned in this passage and compared to this is the relationship of the husband and wife. You know, there's two things that I have seen much of over the years. One is death. And it's interesting how that when one member of this couple passes off, the other is just like they are torn in two. But you know, I believe they are basically torn in two. Why? Because I believe that the Lord has designed them to be one flesh. And that is a tremendously much closer relationship than we could ever imagine. And I guess when you experience it, you find out. But then there is also divorce. And this is a way in which people are torn asunder. It is an incredible situation. I know people that have been divorced and remarried for 25 years, and yet to speak of that divorce, automatically you see the body shake with emotion. You see, there is one flesh, and that is something that is a relationship that is close. When he is ahead of his church, that is a most personal relationship. If you are sitting here tonight and you are not in a personal close relationship with him, then you do not realize that the situation, the relationship you're in, you are in that relationship. You are, and he is the head, and we are the body. And the Bible says this, the church is subject unto Christ. The church is subject unto Christ. Submit yourselves to your own husband, as the church is subject unto Christ. The meaning of that for us today, whatever our culture would say, in the marriage relationship is clear. But what I would like to zero in tonight is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Submission. I believe it is no easier for us to submit to Jesus Christ, sadly, by times at least, than it is to submit her than for a woman to submit herself to her husband. It's not an easy thing to do. And yet, we read in the scripture that we are to submit ourselves to the Lord. And I see those words, the Lord. And I see those words, his subject. And how vital it is. Where do we stand with the Lord? Is he the head? Are we the body? Are we in submission to him? I believe that is ever a question that needs to be before us. And I believe that it is something that will protect us if we acknowledge him as the head. Over the years, I've noticed that we sing a lot about the head, Jesus Christ. We sing, we sing songs that include the word praise and worship. But it's easy to sing those songs with no meaning to them. And so we need to ask ourselves, is he indeed our head? And is it a situation where we realize that we are of his body, of his flesh, of his bones? He is so vitally interested in that relationship. We read also here in this passage how sacrificially Jesus loves us. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." The Lord Jesus Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us. He bought the church at a tremendous price. And that price was his death. When I think of the Lord Jesus, I think of the time he was on the cross. And as he hung there, there were people all around. They were shouting out things like this. If you are really the Son of God, come down from there. Earlier they had said, crucify him, crucify him. Earlier again they had said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Even earlier than that, we will not have this man to reign over us. All this rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet what was his words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ loved the church, and Christ gave himself for the church. I was thinking of the second death. The Bible says that if we have nothing to do with Christ, if we're not saved, that there is, of course, the separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. That is the first death. And then there is the second death, when there is the body is resurrected, and that we are cast, those that are not saved, are cast into the lake of fire. Now, in order for that to be avoided, there had to be a tremendous price paid. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And the Bible reads there that all God's wrath and all his billows of his wrath went over the Lord Jesus Christ. He bare our iniquities in his own body on the tree. The suffering of the Lord Jesus there, I believe, would be equal to the second death and maybe a lot more. We cannot tell just how terrible a time it was, but we know one thing, that payment was equal to the payment of our sins in hell, that he bore it there upon Calvary's cross in three dark hours, and that he was able to say, when it was done, it is finished, the price is paid. The Father raised him from the dead. But I noticed the second death for the Lord Jesus, for he is a man, but he is like no other man, and he was in his death like no other man, in that he bore the wrath first, and then he died for us. In the case of an unsaved man, they die, and then they suffer the second death. Common to the two is resurrection. But what a terrible thing that he bore there when he gave himself for the church. He loved the church. Sometimes we believe that things are a little too stiff for us. But I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ is worthy of everything, and that's not just the words of a song. We could sing it over here 100 times, and it may mean nothing to us at all. But the truth of the matter is, it is true. It is true. He deserves all. He deserves all the reverence we can give him. He deserves all the respect and the true worship. He does deserve everything we are and have. And he has loved us. And he has made us a part of his body. A tremendous thing as we look at it here. He gave himself for the church. Somebody asked a husband, the husband said to a preacher, he said, "Do you think I might love my wife too much?" And the preacher said simply, "Do you think you love him as much as Christ loved the church? Do you think you love her as much as Christ loved the church?" He said, "No, I guess I don't." We can never out-love the Lord, but we can recognize him as our head. We can recognize him as our head in this old world. The culture shouts at us. The Christian culture shouts at us. But remember who is the head and the Savior. It is even Jesus Christ the Lord. One of the great things that the Lord has given us is the Word of God. And when we look at this passage here in verse 26, we see that the church, and I notice it is not that the preacher does it, that the preacher can sanctify and cleanse the people. No, that is a theology of about 1 billion people that name the name of Christ today. But it is Jesus Christ that sanctifies and cleanses. But he cleanses his church with the washing of water by the word. The church has been commended to the Word of God. Has been commended to the Word of God. And it is our place of bathing. And we are cleansed by the washing of water by the Word of God. Now to me that is a tremendous thing. And how often we should be in that Word. You know, a child goes to camp on Sunday afternoon, perhaps doesn't see the shower till they come home Friday night. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think the drive home would be like? This is not a nice scent. You know, we need to be cleansed by the Word of God. We need to be very fussy of anything else about the Word of God. Because the body of Christ, and that's you and me, there is a cleansing effect of that Word. A sanctifying one, which means little by little we're set off more for the Lord. My, that Word is sharper and powerful Word of God. And the Bible says that the Lord wants to cleanse his church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church needs to be a holy place. The church needs to be a holy place. And a holy people. We say, well, that maybe there's a difference there. But let's say it is to be a holy people and without blemish. We reach that by the Word of God, and there's no other way. There is absolutely no other way. The Bible study that goes on here, where I believe a passage of Scripture is taken week by week, I believe it is vital. It is vital to the saints. It is cleansing to the saints. If you miss it, it is not good. On a personal level, you read the Bible every day. It has a cleansing effect. And by the way, the smell that comes off a person, and I don't mean physically, that is not into the Word of God is no more pleasant physically than someone who hasn't had a shower for a week. It affects our humor. It affects how we look at things, our relationship with the Lord. We need that word. There is a cleansing effect. And the Lord is very, takes up this as not something, and we do look forward to the coming of the Lord and entire sanctification when we see Him. But my friend, still there is that work of the Word of God. He doesn't want His church to fall into decay and carnality. He wants us to, through the washing of water, to be into the Word. It's very important. Holiness is still a call. Holiness is still a call. We read here, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I think those things, no man ever hated his own flesh. For the unsaved, if you want to tell them that God loves them, and sometimes they find that a hard thing to understand or to grasp, we point to the cross where He died for us. And of course, Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. This is true here. But it's something that a believer notices as he reads the Word of God. Christ cherishes us. He finds His church as something tremendously precious. And that's you and me. You know, when a child, again, maybe I don't want to drive this example to the wall, but when a child comes home, you're so glad to see them that you can put up with the smell. The Lord cherishes His church. And anyone who reads the Word of God will soon see that how much He loves the church. We've been doing a study on the book of Daniel. And Daniel is told at least three times in a certain passage, "Thou art greatly beloved." I believe we need to see that in the Word of God. There's much sin in the Word of God, much unpleasantness. You may find I'm unpleasant tonight, I don't know. But He cherishes us. And how can we know that except by the Word of God? We know He loves us. He tells us over and over again. And yes, we remember each Lord's Day, the death of Christ on the cross, and well, we may. But in a million ways, He tells us He loves us. He tells us He loves the saints. And He tells us He loves the church. And when you boil it all down, that is us. He loves us as He loves Himself. In fact, He was willing to give up His own life for you and I. Another word here is He nourisheth the church. He feeds it. How wonderful it is to feed on the Word of God. The Bible says that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And in another place it says that we graduate from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. And that by being exercised by the Word of God, that we began to be able to recognize good and evil. Now, in some sense, we already do. In order to be saved, you need to realize that you are a sinner. But yet, very often, we believers have a lot of trouble discerning good and evil. We need to be in the Word of God. He nourishes the Word of God. The Word of God nourishes us. Jesus Christ nourishes us. Jesus Christ cherishes us. Jesus Christ cleanses us through the washing of water by the Word. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. I think of Adam, who is a type of Christ, either one way or another. But when he was presented his wife by the Lord, he rejoiced. It was like a song. He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." It was a great celebration. The Lord loves His church. My friends, we ought to love Him back. We ought to love Him back. And love Him according to His Word. His Word. It is a great mystery that we should have such a relationship to Him. And yet in this great world of 7 billion people, there are a number, millions, maybe tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions. There are a number of people, I believe the vast minority, that are part of the body of Christ ever since the day of Pentecost. Their call has been that He might be the Lord and Savior of the body. Their great, what has been given to them and committed to them for these last 2,000 years and beyond that, really, but for the church, is the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. It is all sufficient. It is all sufficient. As long as Jesus Christ Himself, whether it's as I would read my Bible in the morning or at night, as long as He is the head, and as long as He is the Savior. You know, it is a terrible thing to be a member of the church. I remembered when I became a member of the church, my life degenerated. Whenever I have my little piece of paper, I don't mean the member of being Christ's. And you know something? It freed me up. I kind of met my obligations. And that was it. I didn't know anything about salvation. I didn't know anything about Christ. And He meant nothing. I was able to actually get into the world more. I was able to drink more. I was able to go wherever I wanted to go, do whatever I wanted to do. It's sort of like the story in the Bible about having the house swept clean and the devils come back and there's 7 more times of them than there was before. What a wonderful thing to be a part of His body. What a wonderful thing He does in a life. What a wonderful thing that we have this Bible, that God has spoken. He's spoken to us, and we have His Word. How would we ever know that He loved us if we could not read in the Scripture? How could we ever know the way of growth? Paul could say this, and Paul in chapter 7 of Romans was not a man without sin. But he could say the very best life that can be lived in this world is a life that is lived for Jesus Christ. That is the very best life in this world and for that which is to come. And something I would say, sometimes we think, well, we as Christians, we have it hard. How would we like to go through it without him? How would we like to face the things that we have had to face without him? The promise of the Word of God is we never will. When I look back over 40 years of being a believer, all else is darkness. He is light. He has done things for me that I could not overstate. It is wonderful to know him. And yes, there has been hard times in 40 years of being a believer. But I can tell you that I would sooner go through anything with him than anything I would have had to go through without him. He is all sufficient. I am a part of him. He acknowledged me as that. He has said, I am bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. It's none less than that. You say, what, can you explain that to me a little more? I do not fully understand what everything Jesus Christ has done for me. But it's there in black and white. And not only that, I believe it to be absolutely true. May we, and what I believe, it is only a testimony of one man. I hope there are many men that would stand and say the very same thing, and I believe there are, and women, and young people. Let us bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would have us to understand more and more who we are in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that when we were born again, we became flesh of thy flesh, bones of thy bones. We know, Lord, that we did not become God. But we thank thee, Father, that we are united with Christ. We are in Christ. We thank thee, Father, that it means somewhat more than that. We know it is a great mystery. We know it has been revealed. In one sense, it is no longer a mystery. But we wonder, Father, what you have done for us. I pray, Father, that we might appreciate thy Son. I pray, Father, that we would delight to make him the head of the body. Also, Lord, that he might be the head, the unseen guest, at every meal, the unseen guest when we are at home, and when we are abroad, that we would realize that he is very personally involved with our lives, desiring the very best for us. We just ask thee, Lord, to bless this group of believers tonight. I pray for the Charlottetown Bible Chapel. I pray for all the Bible chapels on the island. And I pray, Lord, for all the believers on the island as well. Lord, sometimes it is scary to consider all things that are going on about us. But Lord, we can but lay these things before thee. And we pray, Father, that we might realize ever more fully of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name.